Day Sting, number 246, Rum and Soup. 246. So keep thou us to count our days and set our hearts on wisdom days. Turn, Lord, to us in our distress, in pity now thy servants bless. Let mercy down dispel our night, and all our day with joy be bright, and all our day with joy be bright. Number 246, 1 and 2. All these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them or serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ass, nor his heir, nor anything that is thy neighbor. Further, we read to you from God's holy word, the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, the 3rd part, John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter says unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not say to wash thy feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed his feet, and had taken his garment, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. is no these things, happy are ye if ye do them. This was our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Great mercy and peace is given, and it be multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, that our hearts be filled with fear, with reverence and awe for thee, the great, mighty and lofty God. And that we bow before thee in true humility in this morning hour of this Sabbath day, where thy hand brought us together in this house of worship. One of our members is taken away by the hand of death, and it is fulfilled unto him where the three falls that he shall lay, in the north or in the south. Another one is laying there without so little knowledge, and it seems that it also go to the end, and all of us, we have our turn to lead this world and to meet our Maker, and that it become eternity for us. And now by nature, Lord, we have no impressions of death in our heart. And even for the whole world, we cannot die, but it is free and sovereign. And how to live that in for our own heart, and to be placed outside for ourselves, that we come for ourselves to the consideration and to that knowledge that we have lost voluntarily is not the Lord's fault, no, but it is our own fault that we have lost in paradise everything. He never can blame thee. Oh, that we are realized also in our hearts. And if he would send away forever to that place where hope never shall enter, instead to curse the Lord, that we may say forever and ever that the Lord is right in all his ways, in all his actions. Lord, thou art free of my blood, and that by virtue of my creation after the image of God, but also have lived under that blessed gospel, under the preaching of that holy name that is given under heaven, whereby that we must be saved. That rich gospel as it is in Christ Jesus. For a poor and for a lost and for an undone sinner. For an unworthy sinner. But that Christ has opened heaven for them. And that with the glorification of all they have in you. Lord, that is Sabbath day, that it be a day of rest for our restless soul, and that it may please thee not to pass us by, but to remember us without children and grandchildren. As travels to the great and ever-ending eternity, laying upon our hearts the necessity to be born again and to restore into communion with thee. That is only possible through the blood and righteousness of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us in this Sabbath day. Come in this gathering of thy people, there that they are gathered in thy house to hear thy word and testimony. Bless the preaching, the reading, the catechizing, also in our midst. And every verse over the length and over the breadth of the earth, also among the heathen and that Jewish nation, that thy name be honored and glorified. Sinners comforted, established in the most holy faith, that the privilege was given to thy people also amongst us, and that it may please thee, Lord, to remember us with all thy servants in that heavy task that laid upon the youngest, that our only expectation also in this moment and in this day, that it is so from thee, may that not be ashamed, but help and strengthen us, as thou hast done for so many years. And thou art the same yesterday, today and forever. O blessed mediator, exalted at the right hand of the Father, remember us, bless us, fill our hearts with thy grace and with thy love. And visit thy people over the length and breadth of the earth. Give them the desire of their heart that the case come to a solution and that their hearts rejoice in thee. For all thy spirit, also in the heart of the rising generation, and that the seriousness of life and of time in which we are living, also in our city, O Lord, that brings us on our knees, and that we ask of thee to reveal something from heaven that you all be filled with tears, breaking up sin and iniquity, and all the assaults of the devil, and that thy kingdom may come in our hearts, in our midst, in our family, and over the length and over the breadth of the earth. Remember all the needs and wants. That mother became a widow, with children without a father, who had brought them up in that true doctrine, and who had warned them also in his life and also in his sickness to remain and to stay with that doctrine. They have heard with ears. Oh Lord, strengthen them in their bereavement, and that it may please thee, that also that warning also amongst us in our own congregation, that it never shall testify against one of us, but that it be blessed and be sanctified, and we know if there is a faith in our heart as a mustard seed, the least of all the seed, then that end that shall be peace, eternal peace. And if it is lacking, then it was better that man never was born. Lord, that we may lay before thee and surrender it into thy hand also for him, and that it may please thee to teach us all to number our days, that we apply our hearts unto wisdom. Remember all the widows and orphans and widows, and all our boys in the service, where that they are, protection, and remember them, and look upon us together with the pardoning of all our sins and all our iniquities. Wash and cleanse us in thy precious blood, and that for thy great name's sake, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 367. Your offering will be taken for the church and for our school. Number 367. Gracious Lord, remember David, how he made thy house his care, and what follows. Number 367. beloved congregation, you know that in this Sabbath day, it is again the beginning of the sermon with speaking about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a custom in the Reformed churches for years and for years. And those weeks and that preaching in those weeks is so necessary for that cause that we shall realize the right character of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. That suffering was not the suffering of a martyr. But it was the suffering of the surety of the covenant of grace. It was the suffering of Christ, who was from all eternity chosen by his Father as his servant to perform that great work of salvation. And of course, the greatest purpose that was the glorification and the honor of all God's attributes. That was standing at the foreground and connected with that is the salvation and the deliverance of sinners. And all that happens with Christ in the state of his humiliation that happens after God's eternal counsel and after all what was foretold in the Holy Scriptures by Moses and by the prophets. For this moment, I will talk to you with the help of the Lord about the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, and I will read to you only the 4 and 5. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. This morning, I will say something about the ministering Christ. First, the willing servant of the Father. Second, the surety who was not understood in his action. And in the third place, the great prophet who instructed his disciples. By all the evangelists comes on the foreground that Christ had suffered at the Feast of Passover. You read that also in our text. Now before the Feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of his world unto the Father, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. There is some reason why that Christ suffered on the Feast of Passover, and why that the Father had pointed out in his counsel that special time. There was, of course, no better time for Christ than to die at that feast. You know, in Exodus 12, there the Feast of Passover that was already instituted in the last night when Israel would be delivered out of the house of bondage. And the only thing that could deliver that people and that would give him freedom to leave that country, that was only the blood of the Lamb. You know that you read in Exodus 13 that the Lord said, when I see the blood on the post of the door, then I shall pass by. And that angel that was only looking to that blood, whether that he saw that blood. You read not, when I see tears, no. When I heard some prayers, but when he saw the blood. And without shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. That Passover, that Lamb, that refers to Christ. And that blood also is necessary for the forgiveness of our sins. And that Lamb, every year, that refers to Christ. Therefore, you read also in 1 Corinthians 5, that the Apostle Paul, that he said, that outpass over that is Christ. For even Christ outpass over is sacrifice for us. That was just the first reason why that Christ on the feast of Passover must die. And the second reason was that on that feast especially, from all the sides of the world, the people came to Jerusalem. You read that in Leviticus 16, that the Lord has commanded the people Israel to come to that feast. Some people stayed 8 days. When they were rich, they stay longer. But you would say, what must now be the meaning of it? That now that people be a witness, even with their eyes, or that they would hear it with their ears, and that they brought that over the whole world, but there have taken place. And now the first thing in this moment what we have to consider, that is the willing servant of the Father. Christ, he knew everything as the Son of God. There was nothing hidden for him. For us it is a blessing that we don't know what after an hour shall take place with us, or the next day, because there is no one that ever could bear that. But Christ, he had known everything that would come upon him. He knew that he was standing for the Garden of Gethsemane, that he was standing for Gabbatha, for Pontius Pilate. He knew that finally that he had to come to Calvary and there to die on the cross. Christ had also known that Judas would betray him, one of the 12 disciples. And Christ had known for himself in what depth that he had to come, that he had to come even to the bottom of hell. And still, the willing servant of the Father, he never had opened his mouth. He never go back. He was always willing to accept his suffering, as that he had accepted that in eternity already, in the Council of Peace, where the Father had laid all those conditions before him. And of course, we can talk about the suffering of Christ. We do that every year, especially But even that you will preach about 1,000 years congregation, even about 1,000 years, then still we never can come to the bottom of it. That was only Christ. And now he had showed there in John 13 that he loved his people, that he loved them to the very end. And that means something to people. Because the time would come that all the disciples would listen. Oh, that they all would be offended of him. They would be even one that would deny him. And not only deny him, but stop swearing and curse. And then one, we have all freedom and liberty to say that. One, who was one of the disciples that Christ had loved so much, disappointed at all of them. In the world, there can be many disappointments for us in our own life. The world is full of it, and our life is full of it, if we be honest. But what a blessing that there is always of someone that is not standing on our side. Even Paul, he wrote once, they all have left me, they all. But then there was one that stayed always with me. And that was that doctor. You know his name, children, right? Luke. It was the only one. But now, in regard to Christ and his suffering, not one. Friend and lover, thou hast done fast for me. And my acquaintance are in darkness. And why that I mentioned it to you? To give you a little impression, congregation, about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. That there was nothing left for him. And then stronger than that, stronger. You read in Romans 5 that Christ died for his people while they were enemies. And now God's children, at the end of their life, they have not to learn what a big enemy that he has created. Not friends, no, but enemies of the cross of Christ, enemies to be saved by grace. I shall give you one example. There comes a time in the life of God's children, people, that they have to live in for themselves, that they are so little, that they have even no desire for nothing, for nothing. If the Lord not good bound it up on our hearts, people, neither talk, neither thinking, cannot one week and one month about the Lord. You believe it? It is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. But the word of God's congregation tells us so straight out that they shall sit empty down on the earth. They agree with it, no. And still that is the way to live. That is still the way to a realizing that Christ had trodden the winepress alone. And there was not a one, not one of the nations resurrected outside. And if we have to add one tear to our salvation and one prayer, one true prayer, true, then we go straight to heaven. Work it and give it in our hearts. But now Christ, he knew everything. He knew his suffering. But he knew also his triumph. That he afterwards come out of that war and that battle as a conquering king. The joy said the Bible that was placed before him. He had known that it was not in vain, no, but that he afterwards would receive the heathen as his inheritance and the ends of the earth as his possession. He knew that. The willing servant of the Father. And above everything, he knows that in his suffering and through his suffering, that all the attributes of God would be glorified. He knew that. That his Father would be satisfied. And that God's people also be satisfied. In our married life, people, but in blessing, when a wife is satisfied with his husband, and a husband with his wife. What would that be? I would say, humanly speaking now, that would be in heaven upon earth. But that now the Father in heaven is satisfied with the work of his Son, and that the church on earth also is satisfied with the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And that shall people soon serve then God's people comes in heaven. Then we are together forever and forever. And then I have to say this morning as Augustine, oh, then I have no words to explain, but that shall be. Right with that. And that people satisfied with God. It shall be satisfied with the abundance of thy house. Psalm 67. The willing servant of his father. But now you read that Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, the things of the covenant of grace means that, and that he was come from God and that he went to God, that he go back to his destination. And then you read in the text this morning that he rises from his stuff. From stuff. He has several things. He has seven things. Seven actions of the Lord Jesus Christ. He arose. He laid aside his garment. He took a towel. He girded himself. He poured water into a basin. He washed the feet of the disciples, and he wiped them with a towel. Thus, there are mentioned here seven special things. Christ rises from supper, not from that supper that he instituted, the Lord's Supper, that follows after this supper. But he rises from supper, and then he laid aside his garment, he took a towel and so on and so forth. But I say to you this morning, we have here in that text a surety who was not understood by his actions. The disciples, they were for 3 years with him. 3 years. From day to day, they have heard so much. They have seen so much. And still, they did not understand. But it took place. Christ, he started there to do the work of a slave. You read in the Word of God, I give you some examples. And our children, they know that too, out of the Bible. First of all, in Genesis 17, verse 4, then you read about Abraham, that the three persons came out of heaven to visit him. Three angels. And then the first thing that Abraham had done, out of respect and reverence for those angels, he washed their feet. And then the second example that we have, that is about the wife of Nabal. And she arose, you read in 1 Samuel 25, verse 41, and she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. You can realize, people, if you receive such a woman, you shall not to be ashamed with it. And there's a point. Certainly. A lovely woman. And she was willing that would be in gladness in her heart to wash the feet of the servants of David. And then we have another example in the Bible. And that is in Luke 7, verse 44. And he turned to the woman, Christ turned to the woman, and said unto Simon, Seest thou the woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And finally, in 1 Timothy 5 verse 10, there is mentioned by Paul a characteristic of serving widows. That Paul said, if she has washed the saints' feet, that is a right widow. And now Christ, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, the brightness of God's glory, God be praised above all, Romans 9, he comes down and he bows his knee to wash the feet of the disciples. The work of a slave. He laid aside his garment. That means that he laid up his glory and his majesty for a while to be the man of sorrow, acquainted with him. He took a towel, girded himself, poured his water into the basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. That was a picture of the work that he had to perform, because he came in the world to satisfy the justice of his Father. Just clear it up. But he came also in this world to forgive the sins of his people, to wash away the sins of their people.
And how could that now be? The only remedy, congregation, that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the water here in the world that cannot take away our sin, that is impossible. In the Old Testament, every day they had their offers and their sacrifices. Every day. Thousands and millions of animals were killed. Streams of blood were flowing out of the tabernacle and the temple. And still, the Apostle Paul in Romans 9, he declared so clear that all the sins of those animals could not take away our sin, but only the blood of that precious blood of the Son of God. You read in 1 Timothy, in 1 John 1 verse 7, that the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that washes and that cleanses from all our sins. Oh, people, you know, what is the best sign that we have spiritual life, the best evidence in our hearts and in our soul that we are hungry and thirsty after Christ, after his blood and righteousness? My only hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That only. And now the question, people, that is coming up for a poor soul, how do I come to you? How do I come? There is in accordance to Zechariah 13, there is a fountain open for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem against sin and uncleanness. In the first place, congregation, that fountain that must be opened and be revealed to our souls. And in the second place, the Lord has to bring us to that fountain. Draw me, and we shall run after thee. And now that action that Christ there revealed, but that took place, that he was washing the feet of the disciples, there was not one who had understood. No. With all the grace that they had received from the Lord, it was for those disciples a mystery. The same congregation as that it is a mystery for us, unless that the Lord revealed to us. So, as he sing now, 168. how great my trespasses appear, but thou from guilt my soul will clear, and my transgressions hide, how blessed I chosen who by grace. 168, 2 and 3. Christ, who had performed that action towards the disciples, he revealed himself also there as a great prophet to instruct his disciples. With whom of the disciples that Christ started, we don't know. It is also not necessary to know that. But we know well that there was not one who had understood. There was one amongst them, and his eyes were those sharp open. And you know who that man was. You know. That was Peter. He had an awful temper, that man. But in the right way, because you have to love that man. You have to love him. Even that he was not right. He was a man, we would say in our language, very spoken out. He was looking, but those other disciples were doing, but there was not one who came against it. They looked well strange and thought, have they not understand anything? No, not anything. En dan kan 40 typen. En hij drie ze krijgt.
Och, congregation, we have lost our right mind in paradise. And now it is only by the enlightening of the Holy Spirit that we know something. By the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. But now it was his turn. Christ came with a basis, day by day. And as usual, by those other ones, he took the towel, ran it towards his feet. And then Peter said, Lord, that thou wast my feet. You have here the same as in Matthew 3. Same thing. You know well what we find in Matthew 3. Okay? That young Baptist that he refused to baptize Christ. The same thing is John the Baptist, he has such an high esteem and reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ and love in his heart for him. And the same it was with that Peter. If the Lord had asked him to wash his feet, I think he had said, Lord, I will do that every day, 1,000 times. I will lay always at your feet. But now Christ, he came to wash his feet. Christ, he instructs him. Oh, he is so lovely to his people. Even when they are so stubborn. Even when they are so stubborn and wrong in all the ways. But I do, thou knowest not now. But thou shalt know hereafter. Peter, you must be a little patient. Wait. Wait now. Not so in the hurry with your words. Yeah, but then you must not be Peter. No. Then you must not be Peter. Peter was not a man with patience. No. But I do later on, Peter. Takes time. Oh, congregation, I cannot take, the Lord is free. Listen to that. But it cannot take 30, 40, 50 years before that is something new. We learn up everything in one day. No. It takes time. We can hear a sermon's expression that we say, oh, I do not agree with that man. I do not agree with him. No. But it happens sometimes that the people that make that impression, that expression, and that statement, that they die,
And that after that they die, that people have to learn something. And then you hear him say, oh, if now that man was still alive. If that woman now was still alive, then I go and then I would say, now. Now I understand you. But before I did not understand you. They can talk to us people that it seems foolishness. Really? Therefore, before that we are 70 and 80, we must have most of the time of this time. Really? Not big mouth. Not in big mouth, no. Oh, we have to come back every time. We have to come back. Christ has prayed. He instructs his disciples and he instructs Peter. But Peter, of course, he was not receptive for his instructions. That's also something that we think that we know better. That we know better as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. No. I give no permission for that. That's dumb. You can't pass by now. But all that precious Lord Jesus, he has such good medicine. Yeah. He has good medicine. Then Peter was so bold. You shall never wash my feet. Then Christ said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Then it is done between me and you. Then it is done. And that was impossible for people. Why was that impossible, men? That was impossible because Christ was his life. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. No part with him. To live apart with you. No. But then I come to another extreme here. He said, not only my feet, but then my hands and my head. Then you had to wash everything. What is man? What is man? Of course, that was a reaction of what Christ had told him, no part with him. And then he thought, yeah. Then he had to wash everything. But Christ, he said, no, you are clean. Only your feet. And why, congregation? I cannot stay somewhere because the time goes on and I will not make it so late as last week. But, then was Peter clean. Then happens that, you think. Then happens that. In justification? No one, he was not justified to speak. That means nothing in his country. But a regeneration. Then the righteousness of Christ was imputed to him. Then he was clean already. Then by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ and the Lord, he sees no sin in Jacob and iniquity in Israel. But why must I speak? Oh, people, you know, with our feet we walk through this world all the time. And now we can do not one step in the world or be defiled out of us. Every step in this world. But now what Christ instructed now his disciples, that was congregation, that we meet the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to wash and cleanse from all our sins, but that we also, as that Christ is an example, that we also have to wash one another's feet. And now the trouble that is, we have no desire to come to love alone. We will always remain on our feet. We will not wash the people, their ears. That is what we want, but not our feet. The disciples, they have a few days before that Christ washed their feet, they have also a quarrel together. And a quarrel that was who would be the highest. But Christ teach them they have to come down. They have to come down towards the feet, not for you. This congregation for you and for me, we must not come on our knees. Stay up from one another's ears, but was one another's feet. And now Christ has given there a clear example. The willing servant of the Father, the surety of the church, even that the people did not understand them. And in the third place, the great prophet, to instruct and to teach them. And now, young and old, great and small, we are all travelers to eternity. One of our members, I cannot say faithful members, because that man that was his whole life in the church, baptized in the Ephesian street, brought up, and as one of his family told me once, the last days, he said to the family, all people that go away from the true doctrine, that is wrong. He was so convinced about it. We have talked with him day after day, every day, till that it was impossible. Sometimes he said that he had some hope. Other days he said it's dark, I don't know. And so he go to eternity. The Lord, he do it men what him pleases. He is sovereign in all his actions. But for us congregation, and calling, set your house in order, we shall truly die and not live. And one thing that is for sure, we must be born again. We must be washed from all our sins in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, first of all, congregation, that the Spirit make us alive. Second, that He reproves us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And third, that Christ be glorified in our hearts. We are still living in the day of grace. That gospel, it is in Christ Jesus, that is still preached amongst us. The only remedy to be reconciled with God, young and old, all take it to heart. Harden not your heart, but ask the Lord to bow under it before that is too late. And that for God's people, all the darkness and all the clouds were taken away, and that they were brought to that light, in thy light we see light, and that the Lord make us receptive for his teaching, and that he breaks all that enmity in our hearts against free and sovereign grace, and that we find our delight in that blessed Christ for time and eternity. Amen. Lord, bless a few words to our hearts. Remember the whole congregation. Bring us back in the other part of this day, that we find our life in thy precepts and in thy ordinances, and that it was to the gladness of our hearts to be under the living word of God. Oh, remember us, and bless us with our families, with the blessings of thy covenant, with the pardoning and remission of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 143. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me and what follows.
Thank you.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.